Happy Easter to you all, and welcome to our Easter Sunday service, coming to you, as you can see this morning, from our garden at Tullylum. Roland, would you just like to explain why there's so much mess and so much stone lying around our garden?
Yes, it is a bit of a mess. We've just finished a building project, which meant that half the garden had to be dug up, so I'm just putting it back together again. And if I'd known you were all coming, I would have tidied up first. As you can see, I've been building a stone dike here. And because I had so much stone, I decided to build a tomb with some of the spare stone. And it's interesting to have an empty tomb at the bottom of the garden. I find it strangely powerful and haunting. And we will centre our thoughts around the empty tomb this morning. I've also been carving some angel heads over the years, so you may see the odd one standing over the tomb, which I hope will add to the sense of this morning. So let's come a bit nearer to the angel and the empty tomb to begin our service properly.
Our title for today is The Pouring Out of Hope. And Easter Sunday morning is a morning of supreme and ultimate hope, a time to rejoice in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, words used at the graveside to bring hope to those who grieve. And we do need to lament the recent loss of so many lives and to weep with those who weep and empathise with the hopelessness that many are feeling at the moment. We stand here in the peace of our garden, but we're only too well aware that across the wall there is PRI and the Coronavirus Assessment Hub, where some of our own folks are working. A stark reminder of the strange days we are living through. We do need a message of hope. Our whole way of life has changed beyond all recognition in the last month. And it is deeply troubling as we worry and pray for folk we know who are fighting the virus, and traumatic for those in the front line. And the fact that there is no definite end in sight makes it even harder to cope. But some things do not change. Jesus lived, Jesus died, and Jesus rose again.
So we will rightly celebrate our Easter hope this morning. I think if you're able, it would be good to stand. So just stand up where you are, in your kitchen or in your living room, as we proclaim and affirm together these great Easter words of hope. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. All the resurrection accounts in the Gospels are not just historical records, but delve deep into the truths that lie below the surface. Let's immerse ourselves now in Luke's account of the empty tomb.
At the crack of dawn on Sunday, the women came to the tomb carrying the burial spices they had prepared.
The women, last at the cross and first at the tomb, they came to perform their last act of love and tenderness and touch for their master, their Lord, and their friend. The wise men brought myrrh to Jesus' birth. The women, the myrrh-bearers, brought it to his death. They had seen their Lord hanging lifeless on a tree. They had seen him laid in a tomb. They had seen the tomb sealed with a stone. Yet, even knowing that the boulder would barrier them from the body, they came. They came, not expecting a miracle. Why else would they have brought the spices? They came with no sure and certain hope of the resurrection that first Easter morning. But they came.
They found the entrance stone rolled back from the tomb, so they walked in. But once inside, they couldn't find the body of the Master Jesus. They were puzzled, wondering what to make of this.
The events of this week had demolished their hopes. The body is gone. There is no celebration as dawn breaks. Not a chink of resurrection hope seeping into their souls. Just a swirl of surprise and astonishment. Who moved the stone? Where is the body?
Then, out of nowhere it seemed, two men, light cascading over them, stood there. The women were awestruck and bowed down in worship. The men said, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? He is not here, but raised up. Remember how he told you when you were still back in Galilee that he had to be handed over to sinners, be killed on a cross, and in 3 days rise up." Then they remembered Jesus' words.
The roller coaster continues, tinged now with excitement and wonder. Dare they believe these dazzling men who boldly proclaim this sure and certain hope? Doubt and delight mingle, and hope and faith stir. He's alive. Is he alive? Jesus is alive. Out of the darkness of the womb, Jesus was born. Out of the darkness of the tomb, Christ is risen. Hope is born. Now the women remember.
They left the tomb and broke the news of all of this to the 11 and the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them kept telling these things to the apostles, but the apostles didn't believe a word of it, thought they were making it all up. But Peter jumped to his feet and ran to the tomb. He stooped to look in and saw a few grave clothes, that's all. He walked away puzzled, shaking his head.
God creates faith in these bereft women. The empty tomb and the angel's story is now their story, and they need to tell it. They burst into the upper room, hearts ablaze with resurrection hope. Dawn has broken in the most dazzling of ways for these women. He is risen. Women, deemed unreliable witnesses in any court of law at that time, are entrusted with the most spectacular news in all of history. How like Jesus, still to be turning the world upside down. Hope that had been crushed in that tree is reawakened, and it arrives in the shape of an empty tomb. This is the deep truth of all the accounts of the resurrection story. Jesus died and Jesus rose again. This is our hope. Dawn for the rest of the disciples will come later. They will remember. The apostles don't know what to do. Their world has been turned upside down, and they are in their own type of lockdown, both mentally and physically. Our world too has been turned upside down, and we may be feeling that we are not in control of our own destiny or of the destiny of the ones we love. We too are isolated, but not from God. And during this pause, we have the need and the opportunity to pray more. Leonard Cohen sang, "There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." There was a crack in the universe that first Easter, where Christ's light flooded in. There is a crack, a brokenness in our world at the moment that needs resurrection light. I'm going to hand over to Anne now to light a candle in the darkness and lead us in prayer. Anne.
There's much talk of prayer in the news these days, people praying for folk who are ill. And we too come to prayer right now. To help us focus our attention on God, let's light a candle, create a little sacred space, and focus on the one who said, "Let there be light." The one who said, "I am the light of the world." Christ is risen. And we believe he's with us now as we meet together to pray. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that we can know you with us in this time of suffering, can know that your love never fails. We ask that all who are affected by coronavirus be held in your loving care. We pray your mercy for those who are suffering all across the world, especially the most marginalized, who already live in poverty, are hungry, are victims of war, abuse, persecution. In this time of uncertainty, help us to know what is ours to do. Father God, our hope is in you. And Lord Jesus, thank you that you say, "Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We pray for all who desperately need rest today. Be to them all they need. We pray for health service staff linked to our church family and lift up before you Aileen, Kathy, Elaine, Elaine, Gillian, Graham, Laura, Natalie, Nathan, Paul, Peter, Rachel, Ruth, Stephen, Zoe. May each one be kept safe and find in you strength for each day. Thank you too that you say, "Do not worry about tomorrow." Lord, teach us afresh how to bring our worries to you and leave them there, trusting, knowing that you care for us. Lord Jesus, our hope is in you. Holy Spirit, at this time, help us hear what God is saying to us as individuals, as a church, as a country. Help us see how we can meet the needs of others in your love. Help us recognize your holy presence in acts of kindness, in moments of silence, in the beauty of the created world. Holy Spirit, our hope is in you. Transcendent God, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Anne, and welcome back to our garden. Roland, I'd like to ask you a few questions, if that's okay. I'm just wondering, why did you think it was so important to have an Easter Sunday morning service in our garden this morning?
I think the garden is the perfect place to reflect on the resurrection story. At its simplest level, the garden is a place of creation, of growth, and of rebirth. But I love John's account of the resurrection, where he says of Mary Magdalene that she thought he was the gardener. And actually, I think she was right. I think, and for two reasons. Firstly, my mind goes back to Genesis and that lovely picture in Eden of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day amongst the trees. And the first Easter Sunday, we have God incarnate in the form of Jesus in his resurrection body, walking an earthly garden again after his resurrection. And secondly, Paul says that Jesus is the second Adam. The first Adam was the gardener of Eden and got things wrong. Jesus, the second or the last Adam, got things right.
And what about the picture of the garden in Revelation, of the garden city?
Yeah, I think the whole of the salvation story is tied up with four gardens. There's Eden, there's Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed before his crucifixion. There is the resurrection garden, and there is the garden city in Revelation at the end of all things. And I love that picture from the New Jerusalem of the leaves of the trees being for the healing of the nations. And we need that healing so much now as a nation.
We certainly do. Are there any other horticultural metaphors that you can think of that would help just open up even more the Easter story?
Well, it's interesting that Paul calls Jesus the first fruits of the resurrection. He was the first person to beat death and rise again, but with the promise that the harvest of resurrection for all of us will follow in the fullness of time.
So you're trying to tell me that Christian hope is not about a disembodied soul living on.
No, let's remember that our ultimate Christian hope is in bodily resurrection. And Paul says that very clearly in 1 Corinthians 15, that our bodies will be raised. Our resurrection bodies will be different. I hope I get a better one than I got this time round. And they will be different. I mean, it's interesting that the disciples didn't always recognise Jesus when they met him after the resurrection.
What intrigues me about that is that Jesus' resurrection body still bore his scars.
Yeah, I think that's hugely important. These scars remind us that Jesus entered into the dirt and the dust and the mystery of human life. And he shared in the pain and the weakness and the suffering and the death that we all experience. Jesus has been there, so he can stand in solidarity with all humankind. And that's the God we need at the moment, one who understands our sufferings.
It certainly is. It's interesting that you mention dust, because that sweeps me back to Genesis 3, where we read the words, "Remember we are dust." And that's a very salutary thought at the moment.
That's right. Then Genesis tells us we are formed of the dust of the earth, but that where God breathed dust, he breathed his spirit into us. And that makes all the difference. And Jesus' incarnation tells us about the worth and dignity of our human bodies, and that's something we're thinking about at the moment, including dignity in death. And I've been touched by some of the stories of folk who've had the virus and have been very ill but have recovered, speaking of the love and the compassion they have felt from those who have ministered to them, the nurses and the doctors and other staff.
Yes, they've been very moving. I've just been reminded of a line that I read in a book by Michael Main, who was the former Dean of Westminster. And he writes there that we are dust, yes, but that we're beloved dust of the Creator, whose love never ceases. And he goes on to say that we are dust that dreams of glory. What do you make of that?
That's a lovely phrase, I think, and it links in with Ecclesiastes, where it says, God has placed eternity in our hearts. There's that spark of the divine within us, a longing for something more, and Easter tells us there is much, much more. The Easter story brings us resurrection hope. It tells us that death and sin have been defeated. What Christian hope offers us is life with Christ now and for all eternity.
Well, I think that's a wonderful place to end today. Thank you, Roland. But just one more question, and I'm going to do this very publicly. Are we ever going to get out of this mess?
Well, I hope so. It is a work in progress, but I have a feeling that I'm going to have weeks when I can spend time in the garden without feeling guilty about it.
So a flicker of hope. I do pray that we will all find hope and love in abundance on the strangest Easter Sunday we have ever experienced. We are living in a new normal. Our view of what really matters has shifted. We have a heightened awareness of how precious life is and how precious are the lives of those we love and of those with whom we share the planet. Our connectedness with family and friends and neighbours and global strangers seems to have strangely grown. And even as we are apart as a church, we have still been very much together. There are good things worth holding on to when this crisis ends, things that give us hope for the future. And the fact that people are praying more and that the church is praying together, these are also good things. So let us keep on hoping and keep on praying. And as we close, let us remember that we have come together this morning to celebrate the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. And as Easter people, let us affirm again with hope in our hearts the words we shared at the beginning of the service.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.